I've got scriptures written out and a sermon prepared, but during worship I feel compelled to go at the beginning just a little bit different. So sorry to the guys in the booth putting up the scriptures, but go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. How do you know? How many know that Jesus is radical? Radical. It's a radical difference that Jesus makes in your life. And if he isn't radical in your life, then I just question whether he is really in your life. And the reason that I say that is there's a lot of religious people who know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. And our faith in Jesus is so important, right? But sometimes we relegate faith to, oh yeah, Jesus did this in the past, so I believe he can do that. Or Jesus is in the future somewhere, and so I have faith in the Jesus who's going to be. But I think he wants us to have faith in who he is in the present. Amen. Today. With you today. Whatever you did today, Jesus wanted to be with you in it. Let me say that again. Whatever we did today, whatever we do tomorrow, whatever we're doing right now, Jesus wants to be in the midst of that. Amen. Now, you know the story, but forget it for a minute and say, maybe I don't know the story. Lord, help us to know the story. In John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The Pharisees were very religious people. They were experts in the Torah. They knew the prophets. They knew the customs. They knew the laws that were made out of the customs and out of the Torah. They knew all about God. Right? They were experts in God. It says, this man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said to him, it's always a little bit funny to me that he came at night. He said, I don't want my friends to see me, so I'm going to sneak down the alley. I mean, this is just my imagination. I'm going to sneak down the alley, right, where nobody can see me. I'm going to make sure I'm not being followed, and I'm going to go to him at night because there's something different about him, but I'm not sure I want to be radical yet. I'm not sure I want to be hooked up with that yet. And this is what he said to him in verse 2. He says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with them. So it was a conundrum. You're not like us, but I know you're from God. How do I know you're from God? Because you're doing some things we don't do. You're casting out devils. You're getting people healed. You're raising people from the dead. Our religion doesn't do that. Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again. And he's going to go on to explain that, and we'll read through that in a minute. But what a concept this was. There's nowhere in the Torah, there's no one in the prophets, there's nowhere that says that you have to be born again. That didn't make any sense to his religious mind. And to us sometimes, it doesn't make sense to us. But I'm telling you, if you want to know Jesus in the present, you have to be born again. Because you can't see the kingdom without being born again. And let's listen to this interaction that happens. He says, so Nicodemus said to him, now think about this, a religious man, he knew everything about the Torah. He was an expert in the law. And he asked Jesus, we know, man, that you're a teacher, that you come from God. And Jesus says, hey, you got to be born again to see the kingdom of God. In other words, in order for you to understand what I'm saying, in order for you to really comprehend what's going on here, you have to be different than you are now. That's hard for a religious, especially a ruler, to take. Well, wait a minute. I'm the elite. I'm one of the teachers. I'm one of the noble ones. I'm the one that people come for answers to. I'm the one that if there's a dispute, they come to me because I know the word. He said, assuredly. I'm not joking around here. I'm telling you right now. If you really mean that I'm a teacher from God, I want to tell you something, and here's what I want to tell you. That unless you're born again, you cannot see, comprehend, or understand the kingdom of God. And I want to just say this, and I can't go fully into it, but look at this. I don't think that you can understand God outside of the born again experience. And what I mean by that is, you can't understand God just with your mind. You can't understand God just with your experience. You have to know God from a different level. You have to have the ability to communicate with Him one-on-one. And you can't do that unless you're different than the way you were born. And why is that? Well, we all know, because we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's requirements in order to be holy. We've all fallen short, the Bible says, right? So Jesus said, listen, the way you are isn't going to cut it. He said, you've got to be different. And what I want to tell you tonight is that I think Jesus is reminding us. I'm reminded of the scripture in Revelation where the church was messed up and He said, listen, I've got this one thing against you. You've lost, you know, your first love. You need to repent and go back to your first love. And what was the first love? Jesus. Let me say that again. Jesus and the revelation of Jesus and the thought of being born again, being brand new. Something is completely different than what I was. I'm now something different. And of course, Nicodemus' response was pretty understandable. And if you think logically, well, I'm 6'3". You know, I'm pretty big, and my mom isn't that big, right? How in the world am I going to be born again? We'll just read what he says. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And so he was looking at it from the natural perspective, and Jesus was trying to get him over into the spiritual experience of knowing God. God wants us to think with our minds. He wants us to feel with our bodies, all of that. But there's an aspect that until we're born again, we can't enter into, and that's experiencing God in our spirits, on a spiritual level. And Nicodemus couldn't experience or see the kingdom of God until something was changed on the inside of him. And that's the same with us. And again, I've got to tell you this funny story. The word born again throws some people off. I was down in California, and we were at this gal's house for a birthday party, and her neighbor was over, and I got to talking to her about Jesus and witnessing to her about the Lord and saying, you know, I said, you're Catholic, right? Yeah, I'm Catholic. Well, I said, you know, everything that you need, do you believe, and this is the way I approach her, do you believe in the Apostles' Creed? Yeah, oh yeah, I believe in it. We say it every Sunday. I believe in the Father God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and His only begotten Son, and go on and on and on. And it says everything in that particular creed that you need according to the Bible to be saved. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved or you'll be born again. And so I said, well, if you believe that, absolutely I believe that. Well, then you're saved. Yeah, I guess I'm saved. Well, then you're born again. She said, no, I don't want anything to do with that born again thing, because that was back in the time when people associated born again with the religious rite. Let's just put it that way. So what she was saying, I don't want to have anything to do with this particular group of people, but I believe in Jesus, right? So I said to her, well, let's throw that term out, born again. Because really what it means is to be begotten by the Father. Born again, to be begotten by the Father, or to come into a relationship with the Father. That's what it means, right? And you can't do that outside of Jesus. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly. Again, he's saying to him, listen, I'm telling you the truth, and with all of the emphasis that I can give to you, this is what you need to this religious man. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So in other words, you have to be born with the natural way of being born with water, but then your spirit has to be reborn, because your spirit is dead to God because of sin. So something has to happen in order for you to experience a rebirth, in order for your spirit to become alive to God again. Right? And we're going to see that it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. How many know that when you become born again, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When I got born again, I didn't change physically. I still had the same mind, the same thoughts. Some of the same things were going around in my noodle, my same perceptions. But on the inside, I was transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And my spirit was now in communication with Almighty God because of the blood of Jesus. I was born again. See, all right, at the point that I gave Jesus my heart, the Father said, I now claim you as my son or my daughter. I was begotten of the Father. I'm saying all this for a reason, right? Because unless we come to the place where we understand that we all need not a religious experience, but a transformation by birth from one being to another, then we'll be frustrated because we'll know about God, but we'll never know God. But tonight, I'm telling you, and my experience will tell you, I knew the second that I was born again. I knew the difference that it made when I became a Christian, became born again. See, I grew up in church, and I knew all about Jesus, and I could tell you a lot about when he was born, how he was born. I could take you on the stations of the cross, what happened here, what happened here. I could actually do the Mass in Latin. I mean, I could do many things about an experiential, an intelligent spiritual experience with God, but I didn't know God. But it was one day, Tuesday night, back in 1977 in August, where I gave Jesus my heart, and he came to live on the inside of me, and I became a new person. And I knew that 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 I was right with God. And I'm telling you, from my experience, there was heaviness that lifted off of me, and there was something I couldn't explain that came on to me. Right? Verse 7 says, "Do not marvel that I say to you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes to. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." In other words, you may not be able to figure this out by your religious traditions or the way you think or the way that your thought process works, but I'm telling you, if you'll listen to your spirit and you'll come to me like you need to and become born again, you'll know that you know that you know that you know that you know. You can't understand it. You can't even grasp a hold of it and say, "Well, I'm born again. Something's changed on the inside of me." And take that over to a friend and say, "Look at," they can't see it, but you know it because something happened on the inside. Oh, I remember the day so well. I tell you, I got saved and I got filled with the Holy Spirit at the same time. That's a whole different subject. But I went home that night after this experience, and I knelt in my kitchen, and I remember that my kitchen window was one of those 40-style kitchens, so it was just a little dinky thing. But there was a linoleum floor, and there was a window over the sink that looked to the west, and so the moon was coming up. It was a clear night in Washington because it was August, but I remember kneeling on the floor, looking out there, and just in love with God. Why? Because I was relating to Him spirit to spirit now. I had a connection with Him that I didn't have before because I knew that I was begotten of the Father. I became born again. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be? I don't understand." Now listen to Jesus' response. Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things?" In other words, everything that I'm telling you is revealed in what you think you know. But you don't know them from a spiritual standpoint, that you just have an intellectual idea of who God is. "Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." In other words, he's saying, I'm not talking to you about a new dogma that I came up with because I had, pizza one night. I'm talking to you about something that I've experienced, that I live, that I walk in, that is part of who I am. I'm talking to you about a knowledge that goes beyond a mental assent. He said in verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." He's just announced that I am the way and the truth and the life. And if you want to be born again, you have to understand that I'm going to die for your sins and I'm going to come for you. But you have to come through me. Through me. And the very famous, everybody probably who's ever been to Sunday school knows this next verse. But listen to what it says. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," talking about Himself, "that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The entrance to the kingdom of God is being born again and knowing that Jesus is Lord and making Him the Lord of your life. I like what it says in verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved," or might experience the salvation that comes by knowing Him. Are you with me? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It says, he who believes is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. In other words, listen, if you don't believe that I'm the Messiah, you're already condemned because your sin is keeping you from experiencing God on the way that he needs to be experienced, and that's spirit to spirit. But if you believe on me, I made the way where your spirit, your entire being, could be made right with God. It's all about Jesus. And again, I said all of that to come back to this point, that is Jesus real to us today? Is he part of who we are? Are we totally given ourselves to Jesus? Is he in a relationship with you, or better yet, are you in a relationship with him? And many of us got saved, and then we went, well, you know, here's the 7 steps to this, and here's the 8 steps to that. And if we only pray this way, or if we baptize this way, or if we get this done exactly correct, then I'm closer to God. Let me tell you, the moment that you got born again and Jesus became Lord of your life, there is no way for you to get any closer to God than that. If he made you righteous, what can you do to get more righteous? Nothing. Now, there's some disciplines in our lives, and we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight if I get to my notes, that we need to be aware of. But the point is Jesus still top dog? Do you still believe that he's the one in whom you believe? Do you still act on a daily basis like Jesus is real? And let me tell you again, my experience, and it's different for everybody. When I got saved, I changed completely. Before I was God, if there is a God, I grew up and had a relationship, talked to you, but I really didn't have a relationship with you. But now I do, and it's all about Jesus. It's about Jesus. See, I've had people tell me Jesus loves me, but it didn't go through my spirit. It went through my mind, and I went, these are just religious folks. See, I couldn't comprehend that Jesus really loved me until I came into a relationship with God through the blood of Jesus. But now I know it. Now I know it. I've been born again. And again, you might be in at home or here, and you say, well, you know, I've been to church. I come to church. I do all of that. And that's good. That's so good. But the reality is that Nicodemus was in church his whole life. But Jesus said you can't even understand the kingdom of God until you have this relationship thing worked out. And so everything that I preach, everything that we talk about in the scripture, everything that we're involved with, it has to be Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is the one to whom I've given my total allegiance. But that's just my part. His part is that he loves me and that he wants to be with me. He wants to help me. He wants to talk to me. He wants my life to be good. He wants my life to be blessed. But I have to come his way and not my way. Glory to God. How many love Jesus? How many love Jesus? Joan will remember this because she was there. And I don't know if Scott and Janine were ever in one of these services, but the Burley Hall when we first started, you know, it was so good because we'd go in on Sunday morning starting worshiping, and it wasn't feathers that were falling from the ceiling. It was ladybugs, and they'd be all over us, But we begin to worship, and we just start to worship, and Tex and Bessie were there, and Tex would be like where Marty's sitting there, and we'd start to worship, and all he'd do is and he was a little bit strange, Tex was, but he'd bow his head, and you could just see the tears coming down his eyes. And all he would say is, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 Jesus." See, because he had a relationship with Jesus. And tonight, I just want to encourage you that if you've forgotten the intimacy that you have with Jesus, just simply go to him and say, "Jesus, thank you for loving me. Jesus, I believe that you're with me right now. I believe that you saved me back then, but I believe that you're with me right now. You are my salvation. You're my everything. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." One other story, and Adrian will like this. This is years ago. There's a missionary who actually went to the Navajo Nation in Arizona, so on the reservation. And there was this fellow, and I forget his name, but he was a big man. He was over 6'3" and, you know, really strong and stout man. He'd come into their meetings drunk, right? And whenever he came into the meetings drunk, he'd tear the place up. And this was way back in probably the 30s or something, but he would just tear the place up. I mean, when I say the 30s, 100 years ago, right? He'd just tear the place up. And I mean, he'd tear the furniture up, pulpits up, and he was just wild. And they'd have to call the police on him. So one night, this missionary lady, she's starting the service, and here comes Big Jim in. And she thought, "Oh my gosh, here we go again." And he was sitting on the back pew back there, and drunk, on the back pew back there, and she goes, "Jesus, I need your help here." And so she started preaching, and here comes Jim walking down the middle aisle. And he walking down the aisle, and he throws himself across the altar, and they're expecting him to rip the altar out and, you know, do his thing. But he ripped it out, and he just said, "Jesus! Jesus! Jesus! Jesus!" 4 times. And everybody's kind of, "What's going on? What's going on?" And so finally they got enough guts to go down and start to pray for him. And they decided that we're going to really need to pray for him and pray that he gets saved and pray that he, you know, comes to God and does all of that. And so they're praying and say, Jim, you need to pray this prayer. He said, "I don't need to pray that prayer." He said, "What do you mean? I don't need to pray that prayer." Well, yeah, but you know what you've done. You know how bad you've been. You know what a rascal you said. "I don't need to pray that prayer." "Why?" He said, "Because I heard you say, 'All that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.' And I called out to him 4 times, and I'm saved. I'm saved." He believed more about what she preached than she did. So what I'm telling you is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Talk to Jesus. Be with Jesus. Because you've been saved. Not by a religious tradition, not by a religious ceremony, not by anything, but a relationship with the one who hung on the cross for you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why am I saying all this? Because I think that we're coming to a time where things aren't going to get better necessarily. If we're really living in the last days, and things might get rougher, especially if you continue to call yourself a Christian and people hate you for calling yourself a Christian, things might get a little rougher. Well, what am I going to do? Well, I think I'll move to Montana and get a bunker somewhere and get enough rifles and food. No, I mean, if God tells you to do that, you know, whatever floats your boat. But here's what I think we all need to do. We have to make sure that Jesus is on the forefront of our mind today, right now. And Jesus, what do you want me to do? See, because I'm just simple enough to believe that if they take away all my food, he can bring me food. Right? If they kick me out of my house, he'll help me to live somewhere. He'll give me an opportunity to preach and present somebody, but I need to present not my religion to them. I need to be able to present my relationship to them. It's Jesus. What's Christianity all about? Jesus. It's Jesus. Let me introduce you to somebody that I know, not somebody that I've read about, but someone that I've experienced. And how did that begin? Well, one day I gave my heart to him and I became born again. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things became new. But the best thing that ever happened to me is that when I called out to him, he heard me. And he spoke to me. I'm not saying I heard a voice or anything like that, but in my heart, I knew that the thoughts that I was having were from him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Paul said it this way in the book of Acts, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. So just let me ask you tonight, are you living in him? And I'll just be frank with you there. There are days when I do and days when I don't. When I get so wrapped up into what I have to do to fix this or what I have to do to fix that or how can I help this person? I don't seem to be able to help him. And even though I've preached at him and preached at him for 20 years, it doesn't seem to be making any difference. God. And really what I need to come back and say, okay, Jesus, what do we do today? How do we impact somebody today? I've got Brother George over there, and I need to speak to George. But if I speak to him through my Nicodemus mind, I'll not be able to help him. But if I speak to him guided by my born-again spirit, then you can use my mouth, my lips, my words to speak to his heart. Jesus. Jesus. What does it mean to be born again? It means that you're a new creation, that your spirit is right with God, and that God is now living on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit has come to dwell with you. And it's his power. Go to Acts chapter 4. Guys, I'm sorry, we'll just throw those notes in the file because we may use them next week, but we're not going to get to them tonight. In Acts chapter 4, I must say this, and I've been preaching this way for a few weeks, and it's on me. It's so on me that it's my job as a shepherd to get you ready for what's coming. Now, I believe, and my prayer is that before the tribulation happens, we're all out of here. That's what I believe, but there are many who don't. If we have to go through the tribulation, Jesus will be with us, and we're not supposed to be afraid, and we're not supposed to get worried about it. We just need to trust Jesus. So James, in Acts chapter 4, it's after, you know, James and John, they got the dude healed, that got them in trouble, and the religious folks again were saying, you know, you guys need to shut up and quit preaching in the name of Jesus. And they said, listen, again, this is my paraphrase, are we going to obey you or obey God? And they threatened them, and they said, listen, if you keep preaching in the name of Jesus, this is going to happen. But you see, they had a relationship with Jesus. They were born again. It wasn't like they were preaching from a religious standpoint. They knew him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it would be like, listen up, you're married to Renita, but we don't want you to ever talk about her again. Well, I'm sorry, I can't help it. She's my everything. She's the one I love. She's in fact, I'm not me without her. Let me say that again. I'm not me without her. Well, I'm not me without Jesus. So I can't help but talk about Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let's go. Verse 23, it says, "And being let go," after they threatened them and all that, "they went to their own companions and they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them." They said, "Listen, guys, this is what they said. So all of you that are here that have been born again, that have a walk with Jesus, all of you, you got to understand that if we keep doing this, this is what could happen to us. What they threatened us could happen to us. It could get really rough in the days that are ahead." Glory to God. So they, when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is within them, who by the mouth of your servant David said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stands and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ.'" You know, that's happening today. Today, they're trying, and they're plotting about, we got to get rid of those Christian folks. But don't worry about that. Listen to verse 27. It says, "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." What they said is, "We're doubling up. We're going all in. But Lord, we'd like for you to make Jesus known by signs and wonders when we proclaim Him. Because listen, it's not about how many people get healed in your church. It's not about how many people you have in the seats in your church. It's not about any of that. It's about who have you connected to Jesus today? Who is connected to Jesus because you've met today? And Lord, we need your help. We need your guidance. Here's really what they were saying as far as I'm concerned. We really need you to be with us as we go through this thing that we're going to go through. We need Jesus. Jesus, you were with us while you lived on the earth. You promised to never leave us nor forsake us. So tomorrow when we go out and preach in your name, we're just going to believe that you're going to be with us. So Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we want you. Jesus, we want you in our midst. Jesus, we want you in our home. Jesus, we want you in the midst of our prayers. Jesus, we want you in our hearts. We want you, Lord. We want you. And He said, "Listen, if you'll keep that as the first thing, you'll be effective for the rest of your days." Right? So what am I saying tonight? You need Jesus. I need Jesus. I can't speak to you about Jesus through my education. I can't speak to you about Jesus so that you'll understand through my intellectual ability to communicate. I can only relate to you the Jesus that I know, that I've experienced. But I can tell you this, the same Jesus that loves me loves you. And He wants to have a relationship with you based on an experience of your heart to His heart. Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? I'm going to ask you that. Did you do that one time? But here's the next step. Did you do that this morning? Did you do that at noon? Have you done that tonight? Before you go to bed, are you going to talk to your Lord and Savior? Is Jesus going to be real to you? Jesus, 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 Jesus. I know He loves you. I know He wants to help you. I know He wants to bless you. I know He wants to provide for you. So your faith in Jesus doesn't need to be about what He's done. It doesn't need to be about what He's going to do. And those are okay. Those are good things. But really, I believe the most important place your faith needs to be is that Jesus is with me now. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you aren't born again, all you have to do is get on your face before Him and say, I need Jesus. We can come up with a formula and a prayer, but none of that really means anything. It's not from your heart. But if it is from your heart and you say, Lord, I know that I'm not right with God and I need to get right with God. And Jesus said He was the only way to get there. So I need Jesus. I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. God, save me. As Big Jim got on his face when he was drunk, but he got sober in a hurry, all he did was cry out, Jesus! 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 He got up from that altar that he fell over completely saved. And went on to say that he got more people saved in his tribe than any other person that had ever been in that particular church. Jesus will make a difference in you and with you and through you if you'll believe He's with you right now. Father, we just come to You. We praise You. We honor You. We glorify You. I ask You, Lord, to take this message that You put on my heart and transfer it into the heart of everybody who's listening, whether online or in the room. Lord, I thank You for touching the people who need to be touched. There's so many prayer requests. I'm thinking of Bill who had a cut, and then his friend of mine from years ago, and he's now in the hospital in critical condition because of infections that got into his body. Lord, I'm praying that You touch him. Lord, I want his body healed, but Lord, would You send laborers across his path if he doesn't know You to get to know You? And I rebuke the spirit of death over him in Jesus' name. We love You, Jesus. We honor You. We worship You. Thank You for talking to us tonight. Thank You for ministering to all of those who are watching online. We give You all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.